All right, chapter 26, Genesis. All right, there was a famine in the land. Now, when there's a famine, that means there's no food. People can't eat. Sometimes that happens. The world always experiencing somewhere a famine. Not here. Because you get rain, you're not going to have a famine. If there's plenty of rain, if there's plenty of water, you're not going to have a famine. So water is the key to famine. And it's not really a natural problem. It's really a political problem. All you got to do when it floods is, you know, build levees and build lakes and reservoirs, stuff like that. Or dig wells, cisterns. You know, there's all kinds of ways to control water. And civilization actually would never have happened if people hadn't learned to control water. So water control is everything. Water is the key to civilization. If you don't have a good water policy, well, the next 30, 50, 100 years, it's all going to be about water. That's why Boone Pickens is buying up all the water rights. Because water is everything. If you have land, lots of land in Texas, but if you don't have water control, you're in trouble. So water is the key. If it had a small land but had a lot of water, you'd still be all right. But you've got to solve that. So in the ancient world, a lot of times people were punished or whatever because they didn't have enough water. So wells were extremely important. And so this story today is all about how to dig a well. How to dig a well when you need water. And I'm talking not about physical water, but I'm talking about spiritual water, emotional water, you know, all kinds of water, so that you don't have any famines. In other words, you never, ever are out of favor. You're never scared, nervous, worried, discouraged. People get discouraged so easily, and as soon as a few things go wrong, then they realize, things aren't going to work. Then they get discouraged, sad, depressed, and have to turn to lithium. So to save on your lithium bill this year, I want you to know, never, ever, ever be discouraged. Never be discouraged. Is that possible? Yes. But you have to control your emotions. You can't change circumstances. You can only adapt to them. Can't change the circumstances. But you can always adapt to them. And I'm going to show you a guy who was Abraham's son named Yitzhak. We say Isaac. Yitzhak or Isaac. It means he shall laugh. You know, if you would learn to laugh at everything, you would be a son of God. You have to learn to laugh at everything. It's not easy. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. Cannot be done without God. So you better have a well. You better dig a well to always have plenty of God, the Spirit of God, deep within, so you can laugh at everything, no matter what comes up, because stuff is going to come up. It's just going to come up. There's just going to come a time when you need to dig into that well and have plenty for fruit, for being prosperous, for having everything go your way. You want to have a deep well that you can draw from financially, emotionally, intellectually, spiritually. You got to have a deep well. Now, this is a great story. I love this story. And I'm going to go to a black church after this. And black people, by and large, have had a tough go of it. And they either feel sorry for themselves because they've had a tough go of it, which was wrong on their part, or they're mad, they're angry, and then, you know, trying to get back. That's too late. Now the Spanish people are coming. They're more numerous. You know, first it was the Indians, then blah, 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 blah. You know, there's always a problem. There's always a problem. If you want problems, if you want to be a griper and a complainer, there's always a new problem around the corner. If it isn't this, it'll be that. If you solve this one, there'll be another one. How many know that there's no end to problems? Get into the problem-solving business. Yeah. There's lots of problems. I love problems. If it weren't for problems, there wouldn't be any customers. So, problems are great. Where would the doctor be if you weren't sick? Where would the dentist be if your teeth didn't fall out? You know, you got to have problems. So everything in life is problem-solving, isn't it? Really is. So you got to have a well. You got to have a well. So here's a story, and it starts out like this. And there was a famine in the land. Now that means that Abraham's son, Yitzhak, he shall laugh. The shall is important. That's the yeh part of the Hebrew word. Yeh. It means forever, in the future. He shall. It's the future tense. He shall laugh. In other words, he'll continually laugh forever. So Isaac is still laughing. That's his name, Yitzhak. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. In other words, that was the first famine, the big one. And here's another one. And Yitzhak went unto Abimelech, Av, A-B. That's the word for father in the Hebrew language. And Melech, that's the word for king. So father of the king. So he went to the father of the king, who was the king. In other words, he's a king father, just like Abraham is. Av, father. Raham. Am is the word for people. So Abraham is the father of many people. He is the, in other words, he's the father of nations of peoples. So Isaac, his dad's dead now. Abraham's gone. And he's got his own. You got to work out your own life. Your parents can't help you forever. You got to be your own person. So Isaac, now it's his turn. So he sees the famine. He remembers his dad. Hey, last time my dad was in the land and there was a famine, he went to Egypt. Bye-bye, Holy Land. I'm going down to Egypt, get a little help. How many have turned to the world many times for help? Hey, you know, God doesn't come through, fool you on him. Go to another land. So he starts out and he goes to the Philistines, who are just south. They're west and south. They're in the southwest. Hey, that's us. They're in the southwest. So that's the land of the Philistines. Now, they are related to the Egyptians. I'm not going to explain that, but they're related to them. They're kin. But a distant relationship going back some generations. And so the Philistines are Canaanites. They're part of the Canaanite bad guy heathen system. But Abraham had made a covenant with another Abimelech, or maybe even this Abimelech. We don't know. Maybe he's a young guy and now he's an old guy. But at any rate, Abraham had made a covenant. Abimelech probably doesn't, it isn't probably a name. It's probably a title. You know, the king. He's called the father of kings, so whoever that guy is. But at any rate, so he goes to this king of Gerar, which is a Philistine land, in the south of the country. This is about as far south as you can get in Israel. And leaves his own land because there's a famine. Now, how many know that's a setup by God? You know, whenever you read in the Bible and there was a famine in the land, you know he's not just putting it in there for kicks. It put it in there for a reason. In other words, God arranges circumstances in your life to bless you. Even problems. I mean, here's one where he actually gives you a problem. How many know that problems are great? Count it all joy when you face various trials, troubles, and tribulations. So problems are good. Without problems, you would never even turn to God. If there were no problems in our life, if everything was great every day of the week, you know, who would need God? I wouldn't. I'm only here because there's problems. You don't need God. Bye-bye God. Because, you know, hey, everything's going okay. So that's the Job thing. We'll get back into that later of why God uses sometimes circumstances to bring us to himself. Because otherwise we just go on. You know, when things go well, I tend to sin. I don't know if any of the rest of you do that. But when things go rough, I tend to stay close to God. God, what's going on? Hey, well, hallelujah, worship God. I tend to be more attentive. But when things go well, phew, forget God. Hey, what can I do with all the stuff I got and all the, you know, my brilliance and so on and so forth? But when things go bad, I tend to be a little more humble and stick close to God, right? Okay. Now, he went to the king, and the Lord appeared to him. In other words, the Lord, who loves Isaac, sees what he's going to do. Isaac, where are you going? This is not in the text, but this is what he's saying. Isaac, where are you going? I'm going to Egypt. There's a famine. Well, don't you think you should check with me? Well, yeah, sure. What do you think? Should we go to Egypt? I mean, there's a famine. It's just like it's a no-brainer. There's a famine. God, pay attention. If you'd come down here more often, you'd see what was going on. And so God says, don't go to Egypt. Huh? What do you mean, don't go to Egypt? I'm on my way. I got my ticket. I'm going. And so God stops him. He appears to him, and this is what he says. Go not down into Egypt. Hey, come on, my father did that. It's a tradition with us. Famine, Egypt. It's just like, you know, when it's hot in Texas, go up to Colorado. You know, when it's cold in Colorado, go to Florida. I mean, those are just traditions that, you know, hey, people know how to live. It's just time to go to Palm Beach. It's just time to head up to, you know, whatever. So people learn by tradition how to behave. So he's on his way down, and God says, don't go. I love it when God stops you before you're about to go over the edge. Now, it does not tell in this text, but God knows something bad is going to happen if Isaac follows his daddy. In other words, it's something like this. You're not your old man. You know, you're not Abraham. You know, so don't go down. I know Abraham did it and it worked out great. Ain't going to work out for you. Stop. Stay right here. Here? This is not my land. I'm up north. I'm on my way south, and I want to go more south. No, stop right here. Stay right here. So this is what he says. Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you of. Okay. What? Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. Now listen to all these I wills. You can count them. There's seven of them. But listen to these, and just remember the number seven. I will be with you. I will bless you, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will, third I will, give all these countries, and I will perform, another I will, the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, in other words, I'm going to keep my word, and I will make your seed, another I will, multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto all your seed all these countries, and in thy seed I will bless all the nations of the earth. So there's a lot of I wills, but it's perfect because it's seven. So whenever you see the number seven in the Bible, every single time, it's a kind of a code. Kind of tells you something like, hey, whatever this is going to be like the fullest. So I will. Now, all that Isaac has to do is pay attention. Kind of like, don't go to Egypt and don't worry about the famine behind you. I mean, God's in charge. How many know that God knows all this stuff? He knows wherever you're going to be and go and do, and he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So it's cool to have a God that always knows where the triumph is. The triumph is not in the promised land, God's land. Sometimes you're booted out of your own land. You're in a strange land. Have you ever been a stranger in a strange land? You know, just sometimes that happens. But if you'll pay attention to God, he might send you to Egypt or he might not. You really got to pay attention. Now, where should I be? Should I be in the famine land? Should I be in Egypt? Should I be in the Philistine land? And in this case, God said, stay right here. I want you to sojourn here, and I'll bless you in the world, not in your own place. Isn't that amazing? How can God bless you when you're out of your own place? You're not in your own land. You're not among your own people. Easy. That's one of God's favorite deals, is how to be in the world but not of it, and yet you're blessed right here. You got to have a deep well for this one. Because normally, if you're in the devil's world, or if you're in the bad guy's world, or either the heathen people, you know, you're not going to be blessed. But God can bless you anywhere he wants. Amen? I mean, you can be in Hawaii, and things can go bad. Or you can be, you know, in a desert, and things can go well. People that live in deserts today have oil. So that's not a bad deal. You know, it's not all a bad deal. How many know that God can take what we call bad, good, and make that good? Actually, live in the middle of a desert today is a pretty good deal. In fact, over here in Fort Worth, we got gas everywhere. I mean, even the church is sitting on a bunch of gas, and they're going to pay us just to, you know, drill it and send you money. You don't even need offerings anymore. This is great. Couldn't happen to a nicer person. I'm okay with it. All I'm trying to say is, you don't know anything. You don't know that the marriage you're in is perfect. You don't know. If you judge, you will judge wrong because you are dumb. You don't know. You got to ask God. God, I'm dumb. I don't know. It's just, doesn't this look bad to you? He might have a different view on it. No, I wouldn't say so. I would say it's a good time to rejoice because God always leads us in triumph. Did you know that? Now, he doesn't say you'll always find it. He just said he always leads us. So you got to kind of check in with him. God, where are you going? Well, I'm not going to Egypt. Oh, is it okay that I left the promised land? Yeah, that's okay. Stay right here. So he's in the wrong place, and yet God in the wrong place can actually bring out good. Just got to follow God. Do you all know how to hear God? No, you don't. But learn. You know, just like this. God. You know, that's kind of what he responds to that. Hello, God. It's me. Help. Show me what to do. And God will answer that prayer. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. He'll even answer heathen. If a heathen would cry out to him. I remember Hagar. Hagar was an Egyptian. That was Abraham's first wife. That's where Ishmael came from, and that's what caused all the problems in the world today. All the problems are due to this girl. And Hagar, who was an Egyptian handmaid, whom Sarah had taken out of Egypt when they were down there goofing around, brought her back, and God actually used this woman, and she was booted out because Sarah saw that Hagar was proud that she'd born Abraham a son, firstborn son. So she was kind of proud. Now, she was black. She was an Ethiopian. And Abraham had a black wife. And so she was proud of the fact that she gave him a child, and this, you know, Jewish woman couldn't bear. He was arrogant about that, mocked the little kid when he came along. Finally said, you know, this is a little kid. I'm Abraham's firstborn son. So Sarah said, hey, get rid of that woman. I don't want her. Abraham argued about that, and God told him, do what your wife says. I mean, know that wives are smart, you know. So she was out in the desert and perishing, and the boy was dying out there. And all of a sudden she cries out, and God hears her. What God is she crying out to? The Egyptian god Ra? She was under the sun, Ra. And that heathen god wouldn't help. The boy was going to perish, and it was over. And she cried out to Abraham's god. Hey, I think I'll check Abraham's god out. All right, God, hey. And God says to her, what's troubling you? What's ailing you? You got a problem? She says, yeah, you know I'm desperate when I'm talking to you. I normally talk to Ra. I'm talking to you now. Could you help out here a little bit? Boy's dying over here, and I don't want to see it. And he says, oh, no, he's not going to die. I heard your cry. God hears the cry of the wicked, and he hears the cry of the desperate. If you're not desperate, he's not going to hear your cry. But when you're desperate, like, God, you got to come through right now. I don't even know the right words. It's do it. And God loves that. He loves when you're in trouble and you don't know what to do, and then you call out to him. He just loves that. Any parent does. Any parent loves it when the child doesn't know what to do. Mom, I don't know how to tie my shoe. Could you do it? You know, I don't know how to brush my teeth. I don't, you know. And little kids want help from their parent. And parents, you know, enjoy that for a while. So you got to train them. But after you train them, then they're on their own. It's a pretty great day. So God answered her prayer and made an oath to her exactly, I'll get to this in a minute, I'm going to get ahead of my story here, in this spot right here, Beersheba. Be'er, it means ba is in. This is a well, Be'er, like beer. But Beersheba. And Sheva means seven. I'll talk about that later. I just told you already, though, that God made seven promises. And so when she cried out in this very spot, there wasn't a well there at the time, God suddenly opened her eyes and she saw the water, which later became this well. So it's an interesting story. And Abraham then lived there. The very place where Hagar, a pagan, a heathen, cried out to God. And he said, I'm going to make a great nation out of Ishmael. You will be the king of nations, and this son, the firstborn son, but the one that didn't follow your religion, took his mom's religion, still I'm going to bless him. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know that God wants to bless people that don't even go his way. He's a good God. Our God doesn't want to kill people off. He wants to give people life, give them hope. Anyway, so that's another neat story. But everything depends then upon God swearing an oath. He swore an oath to Hagar right here. That's why I know the Ishmaelites are not going to be wiped out. No, they got a promise too. They got a blessing too. How many know that a lot of Muslims today will become Christians tomorrow? This is what this war is all about. It's not about all the stuff you think it's about. It's actually about Jesus bringing in a bunch of Muslims to the Christian faith. I mean, it doesn't matter what you think it is. It's not about all that. It's about God loving those people. I'm not talking about George Bush. I'm not talking about political people or, you know, oil barons. I'm talking about God. What he's up to is he's doing something neat. He's bringing a lot of those people to Jesus. You may not know it, but a lot of our troops are Christians. And a lot of the Christians over there are helping the people out and praying for them, and they're coming to Jesus and getting baptized. They don't put this in the newspapers, but I'm just telling you, we have real reports of what's going on over there. We have, from the Fort Worth Church, we have a couple of guys that are over there, and you know, they're witnesses. And they, you know, they've been taught. They know, you know, hey, when you're in a difficult situation, Jesus. So they get people baptized, and you know, it's powerful. And one of them is a Marine, you know, tough guy. But in fact, both of them are, right? Yeah, both of them. What's JJ's name? Watson. JJ Watson. He's a big guy. What, 6'3" or 6'4", whatever. You know, massive guy. You know, he's really well trimmed. And, you know, but he loves Jesus. It's powerful. And then the other guy, what's his name?
Spencer.
Spencer, yeah, Spencer. Crack shot. These guys are good Texans that know how to shoot. I mean, they are. They're the top shooters. And that's great. So we send them there with Jesus. So while they're shooting you, they pray for you. Except Jesus. Anyway, so this is a powerful thing. And the Lord told him, stay in this land and I'll give you all these things, seven things. And because Abraham, here's why. The reason you're blessed, and you are blessed, by the way, we're blessed here. But the reason you're blessed is because of your fathers. Because of your fathers. And so he said, because Abraham obeyed my voice. He kept my charge. A charge is naga. He kept my naga. He remembered what I told him. And really, you know, when you obey the Lord, he's really not talking about being a good guy. He's really just talking about fearing him, listening to his words. I'm not talking about how good you are. You're not good. You don't have to be good. You're not. You don't have to be. You're not. You don't have to be. What he wants out of you, the goodness that he wants from you, is just pay attention to him. That's all. Just, you know, kind of like if he tells you something, believe it. It's not like if he tells you something, do it. It's more like if he tells you something, believe it. If you believe it, you'll do it. In other words, if he says, stay in this land and you do it, you'll be blessed. Even if you disobey, even if you do it wrong, he's still going to bless you because you didn't go to the land he told you not to go to. You all understand? So what he's really interested in is not his commands as much as his promises. Pay attention to my promises. You're not going to fail. If you do what I say, you'll have plenty of water. That's the way he's saying it. Don't worry about a famine. Of course there's a famine, so let's move. Or I'll show you a hidden well, as he did with Hagar. She was out in the middle of the desert perishing, and 3 feet away, so to speak, God opened her eyes, and there was the well right there. She just didn't see it. Many times in life, you don't see that God, right in front of you, has the answer, but you're crying out for an answer. And it's right there. You just need to have eyes to see that you're already in the victory. God, my husband's no good. Well, maybe it's not the husband, maybe it's your eyes. Oh, okay. Could you give me new eyes to see this no good husband look good? And of course he can. All of a sudden, God can change anything, no matter how it appears or how it looks, by giving you no eyes to see it the way he sees it. Peggy is a gift of God, but I don't always see it. You know, I don't always see that. So, you know, sometimes I'll be arguing away and yelling and throwing a fit and whatnot, and God will say, what are you doing? Well, I'm just getting even. You know, I'm just, you know, controlling her. She's trying to control me. I'll control her. And God says, that's silly. Well, I know. I'm getting to that point myself. So what do I do now? He said, well, it might be good to bless her. Bless her? God, she needs to be contained, controlled. She's wild. She's a wild woman. He says, no, she's perfect. Oh, is that the way you look at it? So God has to open your eyes. It isn't Peggy that's the issue. It's my eyeballs. It's my brains. Sometimes I don't know how to think right. Is anybody like me? Kind of. You can't always interpret what you're looking at. You can't always give the right interpretation. Sometimes you construe it in a way that's wrong. You give the wrong understanding, the wrong interpretation, the wrong sense. So God is, no. You see, you don't understand. You don't understand. Everything's going your way. It is? Everything? Yeah. You just have to do what I say. Don't go to Egypt. Don't stay in the promised land. Stay right here in Gerar. So, anyway, he went to this land. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him about his wife. And he said, she's my sister. That's cool. Because she was pretty. He had a pretty wife, and the men of the place were obviously ugly. And so these ugly Philistines looked upon this pretty Jewish woman and said, hey, she's cute. Who is she? You're going to kill me, aren't you? That's my sister. And because if he'd have said, that's my wife, they'd have said, well, there's only one way to get her. Kill him, you know. And so they would have killed him. So that was his fear. Now, anyway, he didn't check with God on that, but that was what he came up with, a lie. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come up with a lie? I mean, no, that was just, I have. I have done that. You know, or just, I can't think of what to say. I'll just lie. Can you protect yourself with lies? Not really a hot idea. But I've done it, you know, lots of times. And it doesn't work out all that good. Because sooner or later, you have to face the truth. Anyway, that's what happens to Isaac. You might say, well, Abraham did the same thing. Yes, but Abraham's wife really was his sister. I mean, technically, it was a same father but different mother. So he married, you know, so there was a blood relationship there. That's called incest normally. But in the old days, and this is true in plants too, by the way, in the early days of something, you can actually mate because that's all you got is the other person. I mean, there's nobody but your tribe and everybody in the tribe's kinfolk. You all understand? So that's not unhealthy. It's just if you keep it up, you'll get a degeneration going. But at any rate, that's like in Kentucky, you know, everybody's all related. You're a Hatfield, you know, and that kind of thing. And they all begin to look alike, talk alike, walk alike, you know, and so on. You all understand this. For he feared to say, she's my wife, lest, he said, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass when he'd been there a long time that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and he saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah. Now, what is meaning? You all know what it means.
Yeah.
Okay. You all know what that means. So the king went, boy, his eyeballs just went, whoa, I shouldn't have looked out this window. that guy is not, that's not his sister. He just realized, that is not his sister. There's something, whoa, I shouldn't be looking. So he calls him in. He calls him in. He says, you know, what are you doing? Why'd you lie? So he finally got caught for his lie. And Abimelech called Isaac, Yitzhak, and he said, behold, of a surety, she is your wife. And why did you say she's my sister? And Isaac said, well, because I thought I'd have to die because of her. Ah. Sometimes you're in a bad place where you don't feel safe. You're in a foreign land. You're not in your own home. And you're not sure you're safe because nobody's given you any guarantees. I mean, after all, everything is related to the king's favor. Now, all of a sudden, the king looks out the window and says, this guy lied to me. The men of the place asked you who this was, and you said, she's my sister. She's not your sister. She's your wife. So he caught him. Now, Abimelech, the king, actually was a decent pagan. How many know that pagans can be decent? How many know that Christians can be nasty? Are you all aware of that? Just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean you should hire them to paint your house. They might be putting scriptures on your walls or something. You don't know. Just because someone's a Christian doesn't mean they're a good worker or reliable. Sometimes pagans are more reliable than Christians because Christians aren't all mature. Of course, here we are, but, other places. And Abimelech said, well, what is this that you've done to us? You know, one of the people might lightly have lain with your wife. And then you would have brought guilt upon us. You know, don't you remember your father Abraham made a covenant with us and we can't do injury to you? That would have been an injury. If we had hurt her, we'd have been hurting you, and that would have hurt Abraham, and you'd have messed us up. We don't allow that. I'm really unhappy with you that you did not rely upon the covenant that we are keeping with your father Abraham. What Isaac is saying here is, no, I don't know. What you did with my dad, I don't know, because I don't have that same covenant. I don't know when you're going to turn on me. Do you all understand? Sometimes you're in a place where you don't know if you're safe. I met a lady yesterday who the husband left her because the little girl is, I'll say retarded, but, not normal. And so the husband didn't want to have that kind of a daughter. And when he's with her, if he gets the kids, he does harm to her. So the mother doesn't feel safe. She'll let the boys go, but not the daughter. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I mean, there's a lot of women in that situation where, they feel, I married a crazy guy, and I don't feel safe. Sometimes you don't feel safe. You got to have a deep well. You got to know what ground you're on. I could use a lot of illustrations here. But, in America, for example, the church in Europe used to be unsafe. If you weren't Church of England, then they persecuted you. Might cut your nose off, might cut your ears off, just because you were, a Baptist. And in early America, in the colonies, they did that too. You're a what? You're a Quaker? Well, you better start quaking because we're going to, do something to you. I'm telling you, being a Christian wasn't always safe, and it isn't always safe today. There are people out there that are not just tolerating us anymore, but they're vicious at us. Isn't that funny? You better have a deep well. You better have a big God. Because a lot of places I go in the world, they hate you. If you go among the Muslim world, you don't know what's going to happen to you. And I do. And so you don't know what's going to happen. They might see you as a hostage or might just want to kill you off. I mean, what justice are you going to get? Y'all understand? You're not always safe in this world. And what Isaac was saying was, hey, look, okay, maybe you did something with my dad. I don't know if I can rely on that contract. I don't know if the court system will back up that covenant. I don't know if you're going to honor that or not. That's why I said she's my sister. I mean, I didn't want to be killed. That's what it was. But, you know, you should have checked with God. Because after all, God told them to stay in that land. Remember that? Hey, oh, that's important. If God tells you something, that's better than your covenant. Let's say America promises to give freedom to the church, which technically it does, but in practice it always doesn't. So let's say they make that promise, but who's going to back it up? Maybe the IRS will just come in and take your church. Or maybe they just come in and take all the stuff. It's easy, easy to happen. It happens all the time. In fact, the church I'm going to, that's one of their problems. They want to just take their land because some developer wants it. It's a black church. You know, they have several acres. And a developer wants to develop that land. So they've told him, you know, you have to blah, blah, blah. And you know, it's sometimes injustice happens. So am I safe or not? Am I one of the safe ones or am I one of the vulnerable ones, the dangerous ones? Theory, yes. But practice, can be quite other. How many know that everything isn't as it appears? So you better have a God who's really, 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 really big to watch out over you, because it might be your own sin or it might be somebody else's sin. So I better have a God that watches over me and makes me a big promise. I want to know how big your promise is. God, you said I should stay in this land and I'd be okay. Well, I'm here. I'm not okay. Just thought I'd let you know. Get down here. And so God has to intervene, otherwise he's a liar. Let me know that God never breaks his covenant and he never lies. So if he says he'll, you know, he'll never leave you or forsake you, could he? No, he wouldn't be God then. So he can't. So I remember that, and I pull that out every once in a while. Hey, God, don't forget your promise there. You know, don't remind me about mine. I'm just reminding you about yours. And he likes that when even though you're not qualified, maybe you messed up on your side of the bargain, but he can't mess up on his side. Did you all see that? So I just want to know, God, was that a conditional promise you made or an unconditional? See, when he told them, stay in this land and I will bless you. I will do this. I will do this. I will do this. Okay, do it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I believe you said you'd do all that stuff. Do it. And God loves it when you hold him. Were you having communion today? Praise God. Then I'll have to quit in a few minutes. I haven't even gotten to the good part. Okay. I'm going to get to the good part then. All right. As this story ends, this part that I'm telling you about right now, Abimelech told him, don't touch the man's wife. Or, don't touch the man, don't touch his wife. I'm going to say it another way. Don't touch God or anything that belongs to God. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, he charged the people, if you touch Yitzhak or his wife, you're dead. That is a strong charge, and he forced the people as the king, as the law, as the judge. He forced the people to swear on pain of their life never to touch Isaac or his wife. That's protection. That is protection. I'm telling you, that would be great if the church had that kind of freedom to be protected. Not by God. Of course, God has to protect his own. But this is by the king of the land that we will make sure we never touch you or do any harm to you because you belong to God. Now, that's not the state giving you a benefit. That is the people who are above the state who acknowledge that God has a claim. Did you all hear what I said? You probably didn't understand what I just said, but it's a very powerful thing I just said. Is that an acknowledgement is not the same thing as a cognition. To cognize someone is to treat a slave or a servant or a creature. But to acknowledge someone is to make them a sovereign. You don't touch him. You don't touch her. That is done by the sovereign people themselves to say, no, they're sovereign. We don't touch them. So are you a stranger in this land or are you actually a protected one? If you're a stranger, maybe the land will change its laws. Maybe it'll change its rules. Well, let's see, today we were favorable to you, but, you know, after what you just did or said or whatever, we're going to change our rules. Well, you never know. It's arbitrary. When you live in an arbitrary situation because you're a black man, you never know. Just because the law says such and such, you may vote or whatever the thing is, maybe you won't. Because maybe a judge will read it a different way or whatever. I mean, you never know how things are going to be. So there's gradations of safety. Now, look at these four wells. The first thing that happened was Isaac, being protected by the king and his wife, flourished. Everything he did, his barley, which is a spring grain, was a hundredfold. A hundredfold. And so they had never seen such a thing. It's like, my gosh, whoa, something different. We grew barley and ours was only 30-fold. Yours was 100. And he outstripped them, and in a few years, he was so rich that nobody in the land of the Philistines had the money that this Jewish guy had. This one Israeli was so blessed by God, because he said, stay in this foreign land and I'll bless you. Wasn't even in the promised land, and he was blessed beyond his socks. And they became jealous of him, and they told the king, let's get that guy, because he's making money hand over fist, and, you know, he's buying up all our stuff. I mean, this guy is flourishing. Well, the king says, is he doing any harm to you? No, but we don't like him being around here. We're just envious and jealous and hate his guts. How many know that when you're blessed, people hate you? When you have more than they have, or, you know, it seems like God is with you, they don't like it. They want to get you. You all know that? If you're nice looking, they don't like you. If you're richer, if you're smarter, if you're anything, people don't like it. They like you to be subordinated to them or, you know, down on their level. They don't like it when you're superior. And so God was blessing him, and the minute he blessed him, it was a curse because the people of the land said, get out. And so they began to contend. And so this word in the Hebrew, these are the Hebrew words, this land in the Hebrew actually means to contend or to have a conflict, to conflict. Did I write that right? You can't see when you're up here. Or contentious, or dispute, contentious, or, you know, they're disputing over this well, because I just told you when there's a famine, wells are everything. And so Isaac dug this well, they called it Esek, because they began to dispute over it. They said, that's not your well, it's ours. You don't have any rights here. All those rights belong to us. I mean, that's what the world's all about today. Everything today is all about that. Who has rights? Who has a bill of rights? Do strangers have bills of rights? Are you a citizen? You see, Isaac wasn't a citizen. He was a stranger. He had a green card. You know, he was just he wasn't one of the folks. So what rights do you have? These are big deals. And so they began to contend as soon as he dug the well and he was flourishing. And they said, you know, I'll tell you what, the secret to this guy is the water. Knock off his water supply. So they filled up his well. They just dumped dirt in it. they saw that the guy was flourishing. So they said, I know, we'll cut his source off. So they just filled that thing up with dirt. So he went out the next day to feed his cattle and it's all dirt. Hey, what's going on here? They were disputing with him. Well, we told you this wasn't your well. And we're going to bury the thing. So there. Well, that's how it all began. Jealousy, envy. How many know that that's what makes the world go round? Do you all understand that? Okay. So that's well number one. Well, here's the secret then to life. Isaac put his hands up and he went like this. Okay. So you filled it up. Sometimes in life, you do something and all of a sudden, someone comes and fills up your well with water, dirt, and you don't have it anymore. It's took it away. Has that ever happened to you? You know, you were doing so well, everything was going so well, and all of a sudden a trouble comes, and, you know, nothing that you had anything to do with, and it's just people that are envious or hate you or whatever, and all of a sudden your source dries up. In a desert land, which they lived in a desert land, water is everything. So they finished him off easily. So what he did was, instead of being discouraged and angry and mad, he went and dug another well. Isn't that powerful? Sometimes in life, you just got to learn, let it go, dig another well. Just go dig another well. Well, you can stay and argue all day long. You can stay in dispute. You can, you know, have lawsuits and so on and so forth. But sometimes the better thing to do is just go dig another well. What are you complaining about? Just go somewhere else and dig another well. So he dug another well. And this well was not Esek, dispute. This well is called hate. I mean, the people hated him. Because again, this well began to flourish. And the guy was up in business again. They put him out of business once. Then he went and he just let it go. He said, okay, I'm not going to dispute over that. I'll just move over here and start again. Oh, my gosh. So this well is called hatred, sitna. And so it was enmity between them. He became an enemy. I mean, they were no longer contending with the guy. Excuse me, disputing. Now they hated the guy and they were enemies. And they regarded him as enemy number one. And, you know, did everything they could to get rid of this guy. Isn't that fun? Isn't that exciting? Isn't this a great story? Because here, the guy's worked hard twice. And because of not just jealousy now and everything, now, I mean, it's hatred. I mean, they're going to get you no matter what. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it starts out a little dispute, a little divorce thing or something, and pretty soon it's more than that. I mean, it's vengeful. I'm going to get you and destroy you. So what's he do? Dig another well. They fill that one up. Number two, that one's gone. So now he goes and digs another well. I'm going to tell you, if you're the enemy and you're filling up wells, that's discouraging. When the guy is not going to fight with you, he's not disputing with you, he forgave you for your enmity, just went and dug another well. You ever done this in your life? I'm just telling you, this is a clever way to live. You got to be able to control your emotions. Otherwise, you'll be caught at well number one, and your well will be filled up, and you'll be a griper for the rest of your life. There's a lot of people like that. Well, I once got married, but it didn't work. Well, dig another well. I mean, I'm not recommending that. I'm just simply saying, sometimes in life, it's over. Somebody filled your well up. What are you going to do? Get up and move on. Why be discouraged? So your business went out. Well, start again. Well, we don't have any money. Blah, blah, blah. Stop complaining. Didn't God tell you to dwell in the land? Bank on his promise. Sometimes you just got to dig another well. So he dug another well, and now a third well. And here's what happened. This is really powerful. Because he had enough confidence in God that he dug his third well. Didn't just quit because he'd failed twice. This is what happened. Rehoboth, what this means is they tolerate you. Now, literally, and that's not the same thing as, you know, being an enemy. To be tolerated, like the black people have found, you know, they're tolerated now. Well, at least we're tolerated. But toleration isn't exactly loved. It's kind of like, well, we didn't divorce and kill each other, but at least we tolerate one another. She has her room and I have my side of the house. You know, that kind of thing. And okay, that's okay. That's okay. Because at least it's better than being hated. At least it's better than being despised and hated and contending all the time and arguing all the time. Do you all understand what I'm saying? So all of a sudden, they tolerate him and say, you know what? This guy is going to be among us and let's just let it go. And so they begin to tolerate him, but they could change their mind any day. So toleration is not what you want. There was a time that the King of England said to the churches, okay, we'll tolerate these Baptists for a while. But he could change the mind anytime they wanted. And so they still weren't safe. Sometimes the Baptists and the Quakers could, you know, live in Virginia. But then you never knew when it would come up in a law. Patrick Henry wanted to make a law to assess all the ministers, including the Baptists, in order to support the Anglican priest. Did you see that? All right, let's have all the ministers pay in and support the Anglican priest. I mean, that is, you know, it's great that you're tolerated. At least you're not being put in jail and being your nose cut off. It's still not the same thing as being. It's like, God, is this all you want for us? Is contention, hatred, toleration? What about favor, protection, blessing? I mean, how can we get anything done if people are always filling up our wells? Dig another well. So this one, they tolerated him, and what it means is to make room for or to enlarge. In other words, this time they didn't really want him to be there, but they made room for him. They enlarged him, meaning this. They allowed him the liberty to exist there and gave him some space, though they still didn't like him. But they began to recognize, you know, God is with this guy, so let's make some room for him, tolerate him. The blacks are going to be here, if the Hispanics are going to be here, if the Mexicans are going to come up, you know, whatever. And you tolerate. Well, we won't call it amnesty or, you know. These kind of arguments are still going on in the world there every day. And you got to figure out, what is it that God wants? So then he dug another well. This one he dug not in the land of the Philistines, but this one he dug in Beersheba, which is the very far south. And there he dug another well, and this one is called the Well of Seven. Because Abraham had taken, this was an old well. In fact, all these wells used to belong to Abraham. And people had contended with Abraham, and people had hated Abraham, and people had tolerated Abraham. But finally, they went and made a covenant with Abraham. Now, this is a negative here to contend with you. This is a double negative to hate your guts. This is a positive to tolerate you, but this is a double positive to not just tolerate you, but actually to protect you and make an oath. And by law, declare that anybody that touches him loses their life. That would be powerful that you could actually be fully free. In other words, though you're not one of our citizens, we're going to give you full freedom. That would be a blessing in a marriage. That would be a blessing for the church and the state. That would be a blessing, you know, on and on and on. There are all kinds of examples where this is the case. When you get discouraged because people are filling up your well, just dig another one. Start another business. Well, just, you know, move on. I mean, it's too late now. It's taken place. There's no point in, you know, wearing an A around your neck or whatever. So, you know, you were raped. So, you know, the guy abused you or whatever. Move on. You cannot forever. I'm not telling you this is the right thing. I'm just telling you, in the world, that kind of thing happens. And sometimes you can't do anything about it because it's too late. You all understand what I'm saying? So we're not going to use the law now to condemn you further for the rest of your life just because somebody filled up your well. Move on. Don't look back. Forgetting those things that lie behind, move on. If you can salvage it, great. If you can't, move on. Do you all understand what I'm saying? It's a very powerful, powerful story. And it's a very powerful word to us to never be discouraged. Why? Why? Not because we're well diggers. No, the reason we do it is because God made a promise and he cannot lie. That's why I dig another well. In other words, no matter what's happened to you, no matter what you've done, maybe you've screwed up your life, maybe you've messed everything up. So what? Dig another well. It'll start again. Well, I've started so many times and I just have a pattern of failure. Well, so what? Start again. Because God doesn't know anything about that pattern of failure. What God knows is that apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, and I'll bless you, I'll take care of you, even in a foreign land. Now, Abraham actually went down to Egypt, and he lied down there and did different things, but God blessed him anyway, because God will follow you wherever you go. Even if you go to the wrong place and do the wrong thing, and it's all your own fault, so what? God still loves you. Isn't that a good story? That, to me, is good news. I like that, because I'm one of those screw-up persons. And it's not somebody else's sin, it's my own. I mean, I just do it myself. I don't even need any help from people hating my guts or, you know, contending or whatever. I'll do it to myself. I can contend with myself. I can hate myself. But you know what? God doesn't want you to stop until you go all the way to the end. God wants you to flourish. And you know, don't quit. America could quit right now and say, well, you know, a lot of conflict in America. There is. It's everywhere. The whole world's full of conflict. Or there's enmity, race riots, and, you know, half the culture is this way and half the culture, and all that stuff. It's on the radio all the time. Or, all right, we'll tolerate everybody. Or, Why don't we actually find the truth where we actually covenant together to get along? Do you all understand? In a foreign land, this is not a Christian nation where everybody's going to be a Christian. How many know that everyone's not going to be a Christian? We have non-Christians. Maybe they're in the ascendancy. I said, apparently we're still in the ascendancy, but I don't know. I don't know who's in who. All I know is it's crazy out there. So let's forget all that. Just dig another well. Just keep moving. Spoil everything you want to spoil, but God is not going to forget his promise to bless you. You're going to be blessed. I mean, this is going to be the greatest year of your life. But you have to take it. I mean, you can't just sit back and, you know, be tolerated or be, you know, hated or be conflicting. No, take it. God, I want well number four. I want you to keep your sevenfold promise. What happened was Abraham made a covenant with the Philistine king, and he brought out seven sheep to be slaughtered and eaten together in a festival. And so that solidified the covenant. That covenant was still working. That's why they redug that well. And when they dug this well up again, where Hagar had cried out, where Abraham had made a covenant, when they dug that well back, that well became the source for the people of God. That well is still there to this day. That well is still there. And the last time I went to Israel, by the way, I'm going to go in a few months, so if anyone wants to go, you can go. We have about 20-some people going already. We went to the south, where it's desert. Was anyone here? Did you go?
Not the last time.
Anyway, well, a lot of people went. Oh, it was great. We rode camels through the desert and slept in tents. Bedouin, it was great. Ate the Bedouin food.
Did you go home? We missed that riding through the camels in the desert with the Bedouin.
Yeah, I know. See, you need to go. Well, we're not going to do that this time. The camels ate all our clothes. No. Now, it was great because you actually can taste what it's like to live out in a desert where it's 120 degrees and all this kind of stuff, and what, you know, how they experienced it. But God, in the middle of that, and one of their, one of their presidents had the idea, hey, let's take the desert in the south and turn it into a garden. And that is still what's happening today. Remember how they're disputing over the West Bank and all that? Well, go to the south. So Israel today is developing this southland, and the only problem is water. It's the huge problem throughout all of the Near East. Water. More valuable than oil. Water. Same in Texas. It's more valuable. And so if you own land, keep it. Because it's not only loaded with gas and oil, but it's loaded with water. You might be surprised where God has water. Water is not, you know, it's there in funny places. So it's a smart move to have some soil somewhere. Anyway, God eventually then blessed his people, and that's why he'll bless us, because we're his people. You are his people. And anybody could get in on this. If they want to be a Philistine, they're welcome to. If they want to be an Egyptian, they're welcome to. But you also can be part of He shall laugh. I'm going to laugh this year, Paul. I'm going to laugh this year. How about you?
Every day.
Every day. I'm going to laugh. Why? Because everything's going my way. And when I get, you know, when somebody fills up a well, let's dig another one. When somebody comes against me, let's dig another one. I'm going to move on. I don't have to fight them and beat them and whatnot. Just let them go. Let them win. I can't lose. How can I lose when I have a God that's on my side? If God be for you, who can be against you? Let's say that. If God be for me, who can be against me? And the answer is, because the Greek, when it asks a question, it already has the answer, no one. And the Greek, you can't do this in English, but in Greek, when you ask a question, the answer is in the question. And it's the answer is no one. God is good. All right, I guess we're going to have communion and, I don't know, David? He's on the phone. Oh, man, dig another well. All right, we're going to drive over. How many weren't afraid of the ice? Yeah, good. Come on, up north we have ice all the time. You can get down to 10 below or 20 below or whatever. What's ice? It's just nothing. So, you know, we're not scared. You know, we're not afraid. But I know a lot of people won't go to church today because they're afraid of the weather. Don't be. Don't ever be afraid. God is with you. Just dig another well. Just keep moving. Everything's going your way. Did you know that? God's got it rigged so that you always win. I do that for my kids. Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you do that? Wouldn't you do it? Don't you rig it for him that everything, you know, goes his way? Yeah. You want him to win. This is your boy. So God is good. God is on your side. He loves you. You cannot fail. Even if the people contend with you, even if they hate you, eventually they'll tolerate you, and then eventually they'll want to make a covenant with you because they can see God is blessing you. Even the people that hated you at one time will come and make a covenant with you and say, you're blessed, I want to be where you are. How many know that if we just keep digging, keep going, don't quit, eventually you'll see the goodness of God will prevail. Do you all have that confidence? I do. I mean, I literally not only believe it, I live it. I know that there's no possibility of failing. I don't even believe in failure. And that's why I deliberately go to all the bad places so everybody can say, see, he's going to fail. Well, haven't yet. And I never will, ever. Because God takes failures, filled up wells, and just has you dig another one and he blesses you again. His blessings will always outrun your discouragements. Isn't that powerful? His blessings will always overtake you. There's no way you can fail. So have a positive attitude. Control your emotions. Control your thoughts. Don't let them control you. His blessings are for you. God, if God be for me, who can be against me? Nobody. There's nothing going to happen to you.